J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Are you telling me that you've updated Fire and Rain to include everything you've seen since 1970? I can't imagine what that sounds like.
You don't have to imagine it, Stephen, because we rehearsed it before the show.
All right. Let's do it. Okay.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen the rise and fall of the Beanie Babies trend. I've seen man buns, MySpace, and the Baja Men. But I never thought I'd see a new Star Wars again.
Once I looked down and saw some sneakers that had wheels built in the heel. I've seen grandmas reading 50 Shades of Grey. I've seen rainbow suspenders and a Taco Bell fourth meal. And gluten-free brown sugar Special K.
I've seen snakes upon a plane. I've seen shampoo with conditioner built right in. I've seen Al Roker's body go from fat to thin. And I kind of hope to see Left Shark again.
I saw a strange pizza pie and it caught my eye. It was folded into a pouch. Lord knows what you call those. I should have asked the pizza guy.
Calzone.
Well, there's Bud Light Lime and there's Cybercrime and Flavor Crystal Gum. Quidditch teams and skinny jeans cutting blood off from my thighs.
I've seen toast that's multigrain. I've seen almost every episode of Friends. I've seen adult diapers, I think they're called Depends. But I never saw that show with the Olsen twins.
It's called Full House. How many more verses are there here, James?
75, Stephen. 74.
We gotta go to commercial here, James. I will be right back.
Oh, I've seen Seinfeld and Lane.
James Taylor, everybody.
Oh, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
And from beautiful Louisville, Kentucky, it is the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jcontheline.com. At the 3rd of August, 2021, Louisville is where we arrived yesterday. We being me and my 11-year-old daughter, because my oldest daughter lives in this area, and we're going to be seeing her this morning and this afternoon and tonight and everything like that. I haven't seen her in a while because of COVID, so this is sort of a big deal. And so we're staying in a downtown Louisville, Kentucky hotel. I'm sitting in the business center, which is completely in the dark. There's too much goddamn automation in this world. You know that? Because I'm sitting here in the dark because the business center, which is where I decided to do the show here today, because I'm not going to bother anybody, and you just saw off to the side, and I'm just sort of minding my own business here, and it's just like totally dark because the automation system, for whatever reason, hasn't gone off yet. You try to stop somebody and say, hey, is there a way to override the system and turn on the goddamn lights? And they just look at you like, I don't think so, man. It's like, okay. Too much of that kind of crap. By the way, there's a television monitor here. I have the CBS television affiliate here in Louisville up on the wall watching this. It is amazing how not only all four morning shows in St. Louis, but you go to Louisville or you go to Nashville or you go to Tampa, wherever you go, all the shows look exactly the same. Exactly the same. You have two people who look like models sitting there, and it's a good morning. It's they're bright and cheerful. You know, I decided a long time ago that if I was in a bad mood, or I hadn't had enough sleep the night before, or if I was hungover, it was my job to reveal that to you, much the way a coworker or a friend or a spouse or somebody would say that. You know, hey, good morning. It's like, oh, keep your voice down, man. Got a fucking headache here today. And I just think it's part of being honest with your audience. If you're not at top, sort of like peak optimum performance level, well, then tell everybody. drag them into your abyss. So that's what I'm doing here today. But to look up there, so it's always two really, you know, handsome people, a guy and a girl, and then they have a wacky reporter. They always got a wacky reporter who goes out and does stories of interest. Hey, Bobby is out today at the Louisville Department of Silverware or whatever it is. I can't even tell what it is. Looks like they might be doing etiquette, which is, you know, in and of itself, not a bad idea to be teaching etiquette, because I just think a lot of parents really dropped the ball over the course of the last 20 or 30 years in teaching kids, you know, how to act at a dinner table. So that's not a bad idea in and of itself. It's just the whole idea of I could change the channel and I could guarantee you that there's going to be two pretty people sitting there with, oh, they always have a minority guy, usually a black guy or a black woman, and she's part of it, and she does lifestyle stuff or what's happening on the web. And then they go back to the weather guy, and they do weather, they say, every 10 minutes. But if you watch long enough, it really starts feeling like every 10 seconds. All these shows, everything is exactly the same. There's too many damn consultants around the country, and they just want everything looking exactly the same. You can jump from city to city to city, and there's just no difference whatsoever. So what do you do with an 11-year-old, and you're in a hotel, and the pool, which is heavily advertised in the material that's online when they're trying to get you to stay at their hotel, the pool that you so heavily counted on because you have an 11-year-old with you, and all 11-year-olds like to swim in pools all the time, and then you check in, and the first thing they tell you is, now we have this here, and we have this here, and then the continental breakfast at a hotel, unless it's a 4- or 5-star hotel. You know, it's basically coffee cake, and I don't even drink coffee, so I'm not going to have coffee cake, because I guess you have to have coffee with it. I don't know. But there's a couple of rolls and a couple of boxes of cereal, and maybe if you're lucky, there's some bacon or something like that, and that's pretty much it. And so they finish telling you all that upon check-in, and here's your key and everything, and then they save the best for last and go, oh, and by the way, the pool is undergoing some maintenance, and so the pool is not currently open. I felt like telling them, really? Oh, that's interesting, because my credit card has reached its limit. So when you go to a restaurant, you know, I have a Diet Coke, and they go, is Diet Pepsi okay? I always want to say, what if it's not? What, are you going to run down to 7-Eleven and get me a jug of Diet Coke and bring it into the restaurant? Why even have the discussion? Now, Louisville, for those of you who haven't been here in a while, and I haven't been here in about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, it's an old-looking river city. You know, it's like what St. Louis could have very easily been if it didn't have a couple of things going in its favor, but these tired old river cities, you know, like Cincinnati and Louisville, they sort of all look the same too. You know, the downtown has a bunch of very, very old buildings which is peppered by a lot of very, very new-looking buildings. I mean, this arena they have where Louisville plays basketball, oh my God, the place is absolutely beautiful. The problem is almost everything around it looks like, you know, it's been here since the Mayflower. I don't even think the Mayflower came anywhere near here, but that's not my point. And don't kid yourself. There's a point in this whole thing. Yeah, it's just old River Cities. And so we decided to go to a movie last night. She wanted to see that new movie with Dwayne Johnson. And it's called Jungle Cruise. So the closest movie theater is about 3 miles away. So you call up your Uber and you go driving over there. And there is an enormous, and I mean a surprisingly, shockingly enormous homeless community that is about 5 minutes from downtown Louisville on the way to this little area. I think it's called Baxter Road or something. And then they have a place that sort of is a little bit reminiscent of University City, except a lot larger. But you know, the concept is there. A lot of restaurants and shops, and just it's like a whole entertainment district. And again, the problem being that it's not close enough to downtown to be able to walk. You got to be able to use some sort of motorized vehicle to get there. It's just too bad they can't get that closer to the city, but that's the way it goes. But it's very, very nice. The place was not hopping because it's a Monday, and with the combination of all the places that closed down during the peak of the whole COVID thing, although we're in the peak of the COVID thing now, but you know what I mean. A lot of places closed down, and of course it was a Monday night, so a lot of places are closed on Monday. But we saw this movie last night, Jungle Cruise, and again, these are my least favorite kinds of movies. These action adventure fantasies, you know, absurd things happening, the request that is made of you by Hollywood when you go into almost any movie is that whole suspension of disbelief. You have to sort of say to yourself, okay, I'm escaping here, and there are going to be things happening on the screen in front of me that couldn't possibly ever happen, but you just sort of have to buy into the premise, and you do that. That having been said, there was so much CGI in this movie that it was sort of like, okay, why didn't you just go somewhere where it looks like a jungle and shoot there? These scenes look like they could have been shot somewhere in Malibu, because you get away from the residential areas there in Southern California, and you can get into a lot of really thick brush, you know, and a lot of vegetation and stuff like that. People forget, just to go the other way, talking about sand and beaches and stuff like that. If you remember the old movie Silverado, that opening scene when they're allegedly, you know, somewhere in a desert somewhere, that was shot on the beach in Malibu. Seriously, look it up. And why would I lie to you? I have no compulsion to lie to you, no motivation to lie to you. I tell you the truth. But if you've ever been at a concert where they're using a strobe light, this is what this movie was like. There was, on average, an edit in this movie every 3 to 5 seconds. And most of the time it was three. Something would be on screen for 3 seconds, and then they would cut. That would be on for 3 seconds. They would cut again. I felt like I was staring into a strobe light last night. But I will say, this guy, this Dwayne Johnson guy, not my cup of tea, but man, is he talented. The guy really is a good actor, and especially a good actor with great comedic timing. These characters that he plays on screen are these kind of, you know, wise cracking dudes. And he's really, really good at this stuff. I'd like to see somebody give him a really good role, a real good script, and see what the guy can do, because I'm saying he could pull it off. CBS right now is showing the video of the White Sox game last night where a cat got loose out onto the field and ran from the infield all the way to the outfield, and then tried to take the fence in left center field and couldn't get over the top of the wall, and then ran all the way back down by the third base field boxes, and one of the stadium workers opened the gate and the cat just disappeared into the crowd. Tony La Russa, I'm sure, will have that cat as part of ARF in some way, shape, or form. We had the rally squirrel. I'm not really sure that the term rally pussy would go over, but then again, you never know. As most of you know, I spend my time split between St. Louis and the Tampa Bay area. And it is interesting, the last couple of months, done a lot of traveling throughout this country, particularly parts of the country that I never spent a lot of time in, particularly the Deep South. You know, because when you're driving from St. Louis to the Tampa Bay area, you're stopping for gas every couple of hours, and you know, you don't even know where you are half the time. And all you know is that you need gas, and this particular gas station looks a little less gross than everything you have seen so far. So you go, all right, let's take a chance. And you're usually wrong. But, you know, like I said, you need the gas and maybe a fresh Diet Coke.
Is Pepsi okay?
And you hop back in the car and you continue your journey. But you see things in the Deep South that, man, it sure explains a lot about this country. But the point I'm trying to make, and again, don't kid yourself, there is a point, is that we traveled by airplane yesterday, and I'm proud to announce to you that a significant, a noticeable percentage of women in this country, or at least who were flying yesterday, are not wearing their brassieres anymore. And, you know, it's like that line from Night Shift with Michael Keaton. Is this a great country or what? And I'm okay with it. And I think that they should be okay with it, too. And I guess this is something that, you know, sort of came out of the whole pandemic, that women were just sort of sitting around going, I'm not going to get all dressed here today. Why would I do that? I'm sitting doing a Zoom call. I'll just adjust the camera so the thing doesn't shoot me any lower than my collarbone. You should have your face sort of full on the picture anyhow. Nobody wants to see your bedroom. And especially, you know, put your computer on something so that when you do your Zoom call, we're not seeing your ceiling behind you. Just bring the computer, put it on a shoebox or something, and then point it at you, and then we're not looking up your nostrils. But, you know, I'm old enough. I was around in the 60s and the 70s when the whole, you know, all natural thing happened. And women were starting to say, bag the bra, forget it. Let's just put on a nice cotton shirt and let's head out. And I'm sort of digging it. More and more places requiring masks. All the airports, all of the flights, all of that sort of stuff. We didn't have any ugly incidents yesterday. I was talking to one of the flight attendants. This is a black dude, and this guy looked like The Rock. I mean, this guy was cut, and he was doing the little service thing, you know, with a little half a plastic cup they give you of Diet Coke. Is Pepsi okay? And I sort of pulled him down toward me, and I said, man, oh, man, if every flight attendant was built the way you are, I don't think we'd have too much trouble on airplanes. And he laughed, and he said, yeah, I don't get it. I don't know what's causing all of this, but, yeah, we're having to deal with this stuff all the time. And then I assured him that I had taken medication that was going to put me into a deep sleep for 2 hours on the flight and that I would not be expected to be a problem. Go concentrate on some other part of the plane, okay? All right, let's see what else we have here this morning. There's, I guess, something to be said for perseverance after a major disappointment. Canadian diver Pamela Ware scored a rare 0.0. At the Olympics in the 3-meter springboard semifinal on Saturday. She was attempting the most difficult dive of the competition, but she bailed on it halfway through. After the dive, she said, I'm very proud of myself. I made a mistake. I've done everything possible to make it to where I am. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not giving up. I'll be around at the next Olympics in 3 years. A 0.0. I could do that, and I didn't even train. Olympics organizers say they've launched an investigation after a group of athletes were caught in the Olympic Village drinking. The problem is that violates rules put in place to prevent the spread of COVID. The CEO of the Tokyo 2020 deal said, we're looking into the matter. We'll take appropriate steps based on our findings. He also said the police were at the scene. It's unclear what that means. As far as I know, no Olympians have been thrown into prison, although Ryan Lochte probably should have. Today's his birthday, by the way. How are the ratings? Don't ask. NBC says things are down a staggering 48% compared to Rio de Janeiro in 2016 and down 58% from London in 2012. There is a female broadcaster here in the St. Louis area who I only met a couple of times. Our paths crossed a couple of times, and she seemed like a pleasant person. Well, she has emerged over the course of the last year as a very, very, oh God, how do you say this? It's sort of like how 100 people in a room can look at something and all agree, yeah, that's blue. Okay, yes, that is blue. That's a blue thing right there. But there will be one person who will say, no, it actually looks sort of gray to me. And you're like, it's not gray, it's blue. And I think that people, when they get on social media, think that they're being, you know, insightful or something by going against the grain. Hey, you don't have to preach to me. I've been going against the grain in this business for over 50 years. All right, so, 46, I lied. But anyhow, this is what you get on the internet all the time, on social media, where somebody puts forth a proposition that's totally false, but goes on from there. So everything that they say is based on a false premise. And she started posting all this stuff. See, the ratings are so far down because all this politics. And it's the politics that's just ruining it. Why did the networks figure that out? They should have known a long time ago. And all I said to her was, what proof do you have that the ratings decline has anything to do with politics? Just tell me that. What research are you quoting? Or are you just talking out of your ass? And of course, she was talking out of her ass, because there isn't, you would have to do a comprehensive survey of people, and it would probably take at least a couple of weeks, and you would do it probably after the Olympics, not after the first couple of nights. So the whole thing was just bullshit. She's talking out of her ass, and I called her on it, and then she sort of got mad at me.
I liked it better when there were no politics in the Olympics.
You know, oh, you mean like maybe, oh, I don't know, 1936? When Hitler was sort of getting a little bit of attention with this whole Aryan nation thing, and a guy by the name of Jesse Owens came along and just blew everybody out of the water, sort of ruining the whole idea that black people were to be treated in a subordinate fashion. Jesse Owens pretty much put an end to that. Or maybe, you know, John Carlos, the whole white power thing with their fists in the air. Or 72 in Munich. See, I think we're talking about a cultural and generation gap here, and because history is no longer a big deal in grade school, high school, and even in college, unless you're a history major, people are sort of blissfully unaware of things that happened before they were born. And I know, because I was that way too. When I was a kid in my teens, I think Eisenhower died, and we didn't have the internet then. You couldn't just Google Eisenhower and learn all about him. You had to ask somebody or look in the encyclopedia or go to the library. And guess what? We didn't do things like that. It was too hard. Now it's easy. There's really no excuse for people to not know what's going on in the world, because it is right there at your fingertips. But people are lazy and they just come up with these ideas. They're not based in fact. And again, it's almost like if it happened before they were born, they just sort of don't know about it. That's a crappy way to live your life. But they can tell you the name of every Kardashian or every plot line of Friends. Which brings us to this story. Yesterday, Jennifer Aniston, Courteney Cox, Lisa Kudrow, Matthew Perry, Matt LeBlanc, and David Schwimmer joined forces on Instagram to announce the first ever official Friends merchandise collection. It's a limited edition thing for 4 weeks only. The prices range from $20 for mugs to $50 for hoodies. Actually, $50 is not bad for a hoodie. Go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you pay $120 for a hoodie. If you're lucky, $120. And all of the designs were inspired by iconic scenes from Friends. The first three seasons portion of the proceeds are going to go to charity. Just punch around on the internet and you'll find the thing, all right? The Rock, thanking you for making Jungle Cruise number one at the box office. We were just talking about that a minute ago. A Led Zeppelin documentary coming soon. It's the first time the band has ever participated in and endorsed a movie based on their career. All right, birthdays today. Tom Brady down in Tampa, 44. James Hetfield from Metallica, 58. John C. McGinley. First time I think I ever saw him was in Platoon. Then he was on Scrubs, but of course, he is and was Bob Slidell, one of the Bobs in Office Space 62. We had him on the air a while back. Jay North, Dennis the Menace is 70. John Landis, who directed Animal House, Blues Brothers, Kentucky Fried Movie, bunch of... Oh, he also did Trading Places. I forgot about that. And he directed Michael Jackson's Thriller. John Landis is 71 today. Martha Stewart is 80. Martin Sheen, cool guy, 81. Tony Bennett, 95. We had him on the air in 1990 in New York at the Grammys, and he was cool too. Showed up in a tracksuit. 55 years ago today, 1966, at the age of only 40, Lenny Bruce overdosed on morphine. He died. 50 years ago today, 1971, Paul McCartney announced the formation of Wings. Man, that was a lot of crappy music. What was with the lyrics of all those Wings songs? Some of those songs, you know, sounded like they were written by a third grader. Listen what the man said. What does that even mean? Uncle Albert Admiral Halsey. You know, look at the lyrics of that sometime. I think Paul was doing mushrooms during that era. And the woman who told me that she won a gold medal in the Olympics before she even had her first period, Mary Lou Retton, won the gold medal in the individual all-around event in women's gymnastics at the Olympics in Los Angeles in 1984, 37 years ago today. And we close today with word that today is National Grab Some Nuts Day. Not you, sir. Here are some stats on nuts. Women eat more nuts than men. The largest nuts in the world weigh over 50 pounds. And there's a world record for crushing nuts by sitting on them. I did that once when I had a new pair of jogging shorts. It was an accident. I recovered. A guy in Japan did it 122 times in under a minute. Sat on nuts and crushed them. America has more nuts than anybody else. 40% of the world's nuts are grown in this country, and we lead all other countries in nut production, especially almonds. Grabbing a handful of nuts is good for you. A study at Harvard found the more nuts you eat, the longer you live. Almonds have the most fiber. Macadamia nuts have a lot of healthy fat. I remember my dad telling me a long time ago about in World War II, some German military hotshot made a big splash by declaring something about the war, about, you know, we're going to make the Americans wish they never heard of us here in Nazi Germany. And some American general responded with the word nuts to you, which did not translate in German. And so, you know, these guys running around in Nazi Germany going, was ist das nuts? Was ist das nuts? And somebody had to explain it to him. How'd you like to be the guy to explain it to a German general? Some translator. Well, nuts is like basically saying, fuck you. Was ist das fuck you? And with that, we close Jason Corcoran's podcast for the 3rd of August, 2021. We'll be here in Louisville again tomorrow morning. And then, who knows, as this globe-trotting that has been the case for me in 2021 continues. We publish every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock. Please help out if you can, and especially if you knew somebody who was a fan of the old radio shows, let them know that I'm doing this every morning. It's absolutely free, and it's available on multiple platforms, including Apple and just wherever you get your podcasts, all over the place, or you can just come right here to jcontheline.com. Have a fabulous day. At some point in the podcast today, because I'm in Louisville, home of the Kentucky Derby, I so much wanted to figure out a way to work in, and down the stretch they come, but I wasn't able to. Have a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.